Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This is the last radio program of the year 2017 for December 30th, 2017. I'm very grateful to have had this year with you, to be able to take your questions and to talk about them and hopefully be able to help you with them. It's a very important opportunity I have to be with you in this way. There are so many of you I would never get to meet in person. And the fact that I get to have this honor, this privilege of being with you here on the radio and talking to you like I do is very, very substantial to me and important. And I want to thank all of the people who have written me this year, all of the people who have been so kind as to share a part of their lives, and I hope in some way I've added to your life in that way. And I hope in this new year you can do it right now if you want. You can become a sponsor and help us sustain our radio program, which is very, very important, obviously, because I hear from all sorts of people from all over the world. And I hope that you will take the time to become a sponsor or make a year-end donation. Our mystery donor, who has been very generous this year, will match your donation. So if you become a sponsor, say for $25 a month, he'll make it $50. If you become a quarterly giver at $50 a quarter, he'll make it $100. And all of this goes to serve humankind, airtime, all sorts of things that you will bless other people's lives with. It allows me to go to hospice and do all the things I do to serve humankind in the way I do, and do my best to do my duty to you and the heart of you. So I hope you will accept my gratitude and keep listening and hopefully support the program. Well, it's a new year coming up. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve, but this is the last time I'll get to be with you. So I thought it would be fun to take a few of the questions I've gotten over this last week. Actually, these questions came in, one came in actually today, and the other two were there about, a week ago. So it seems that people are not looking forward to the new year. It seems that there is a lot of anticipation of difficulty in our world, and you, by the looks of government and what we're seeing in politics, this would all probably be pretty right. So I get these questions. I'm not a politician. I'm not a make comments on politicians. I don't know them. I don't know really what they're doing. I think it's obvious that they're not doing things in our best interests, of course. But this is the government we live with. This is the Caesar we live with, and we must render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And here we go. Okay, the first question comes from Rachel in New York City. Greg, can any of us really be born again in this new year to the point where the politics and the fears we all have about what's going to happen to ourselves, our country, our family, would be quailed? Rachel. Rachel, to be born again, as you put it. This very important statement by Jesus has been misused, misunderstood, and misappropriated in people's lives. And I feel ministers have used it to keep their flock going. It is hard to keep the flock together. Believe me, being a minister is like herding cats. It's a very difficult thing to do. So what I would like to do is take another approach to being born again. Unless a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. And then he said, you know, don't misunderstand me. A man must be born again. To be born again is a very unique experience. And for those of us who have been working in the practice, this born again kind of thing has happened many, many different times to us. You start to realize the kind of foolish person you've been, at least in my category. I'll say, when I realize how foolish I've been, how unkind I've been, and at times how ditzy I can be when I was younger, and even today I can get ditzy, I really have to see where I'm working from. And most people are working from emotionality. So I know that when I'm working from my emotions and they are telling me to be frightened of this and frightened of that and don't do this and don't do that, I have a great deal of pain and sorrow that I put into my life. So the object of being born again is to no longer, now this is the kicker, it is to, first of all, cut the ties that bind us to our hatred and our fear. And then it is to come into that blessed place inside where we live without the iconic fear of living in an idealism or in a sense of intrepidation over our survival. And when I am no longer interested in how I am going to survive, what the fates of the winds are going to bestow upon me, I can come into a moment where I can see that everything, Rachel, is in its perfect place at its perfect time, even if I don't like it. And part of the born again experience is that my mind has dropped its worry, its anticipation of worry, its anticipation of bad things happening, the basic ideal that I should have good things, and if I don't, I'm a bad, evil person, that kind of thing. As long as I continue to live in that kind of philosophy, I am going to miss the beauty of love. And love is beauty. It's the highest truth there is, in my opinion. Simple beauty. And in that simplicity, I look at everything from a different point of view, a different status, a different angle. Because my mind is no longer distracted by emotions. It's no longer distracted by the fear of what I won't have, and in the hopes of what I will get. So when my mind isn't thinking in that way, when my mind is no longer moving around in the anticipation of bad things happening or in good things happening, I have a new mind. A mind that is no longer chained to right and wrong, good and bad. And then I am, so to speak, born again. Because there's this thing that lifts me out of the anger and the hostility. And what is that thing? It is love. It is absolute love. We are here as absolute love. Nothing less, nothing more. Absolute love. Not unconditional like people would like you to believe, because love has conditions. It does. I don't know where people get this. It's just a fantasy that the half-baked teachers lay upon people. And people are like, oh, yeah, I like that. Unconditional love. I don't have to work on myself or anything. I just can unconditionally be loved. It doesn't work like that at all. There are conditions to love. There must be compassion. Upmost, there must be forgiveness, ultimate forgiveness of ourselves and those who have hurt us. There has to be a profound sense of selflessness for love to arise. These are conditions of love. And don't let anyone tell you that it's unconditional, because it is conditional. And it has to do with being conscious. You ask me, can any of us be born again in this new year? Absolutely. Yes, it could happen at any moment. It could be that divine accident that occurs at any moment within your life, where it just happens after meditation, after insight. I've seen people of great intelligence gain this thing called born again. Their intelligence isn't in how smart they are. It is in how they know the rhythm of life, the music of life, the ebb and flow of life. It is in how they know it. And that is very sacred to me, that ebb and flow. If you get into the rhythm of your breath, into the kindness of your heart, you will be born again in this year. That doesn't mean that the poop won't fly in the world. It just means that you won't be a part of the poop, and you don't need that. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Tom in Colorado. He wrote me a beautiful email about my TV programs that you can watch on aspire.org, and I wanted to thank him for that. And Tom just said at the bottom, P.S. for radio, New Year's. Am I stuck with me, Tom? I thought that was so cute. I did. I really did. Am I stuck with me? Well, Tom, it depends on if you want to be stuck. I mean, I have my Greg, you have your Tom. I live with Greg. I see him as a very bad neighbor. He doesn't party all night. He worries all the time. Okay. So he's a tremendous worrier. And he also had in his life a way of dealing with a worry that was, you know, less than healthy. And he didn't know that. He thought he was just being a worrier. He thought he was being competent or whatever, but that wasn't true. Greg loves his students very much, and he doesn't want anything to harm them. He loves them very dearly. You have to understand that. And I live with this guy, and he has his ups and downs. He has his traits of his mother and father and grandparents and all that, just like you. So we're kind of stuck with them, okay? We live with them, and that's the way they are. And they'll eke out here and there in your life and my life, and we'll wonder, you know, how that all happened, how we got stuck with them and why they eke out. And typically, we light up our genetics, and all of a sudden, in that genetic light up, we will call into play certain genetic functions and difficulties and ideals and beliefs that are less than healthy for any of us and all of us. So that's just a part of being human, that part. Now, if you're asking me, am I stuck with me in 2018? You're stuck with whatever your me is if it is the human part you are speaking of. Now, if it is not the human part that you're speaking of, there is another door that is open to you. There is another aspect of your life and your living that is very, very important, and that is the part of you that is benevolent, the part of you that is kind, the part of you that is awakened, the part of you that is love. But I think, forgive me, and I could be wrong here, what do I know? I think what you're talking about here is your human side. And you have to learn how to live with the human, but not of the human. And that's an art form. That's a very big part of the practice. It's why we meditate, where we get separation from the human, and we start to feeling the nature of the divine in all of us, which we all feel at one time or another. And we can start to adhere to that and feel the life, the blessing of it. But most of us are so busy trying to deal with the human aspect of us, because it is demanding, it is always wanting, it is always coming up with more stories and 911 phone calls. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. We rarely dial 411 for information. We dial 911 all the time, trying to get our lives in some kind of order. But the human, no matter what you do, it's like a sieve. It just, nothing sticks. Nothing good can stick in there. Suzuki said, and it is true, we are like ships that sail out to sea and are going to sink. And we sink because of the way we are. We don't really work on ourselves very much. We don't even know how. And when given the chance to know how, Tom, we just ignore it. We just kind of look at it and go, well, I can't do that, or I won't do that, or that isn't what I've been taught. You always will notice that you run things through your genetics. People do things to be great. They want to be admired. They want to be great. They want adoration. And they want to feel some sense of human accomplishment for their ego. And so, as long as I am justifying everything I do for the sake of my ego, I'm going to be doing things that are counter to my loving heart, or to the loving heart that I really am. And people miss, they miss this whole thing of what it is to have an experience that is beyond the conception of their own beliefs. How do I get you to understand the nature of how beautiful you are? How do I help you awaken to that which is already trying to awaken you? That's the question. And we have a very difficult time with that because we want to live our life in accord with our desires and not our heart. And when we have something where we want it very badly and we say, I want it with all my heart, it's the human heart that we're after. So, are you stuck with you? You're stuck with only what you want to make sticky. If you want to make your life difficult, it will be difficult. If you want to live in the human demands and be thrown around all of your life by the human part of you that says, yeah, you know, Tom, we need this. Tom, we need that. Tom, you didn't do that well. Tom, you should have done that. Tom, don't go there. Go over here. Tom, go over there. No, go over here. Why'd you go over there when I told you? You know, it goes on, this argument that just perpetuates itself through spiritual indifference. If you really want to mature and change, you have to step back from whatever it is that you believe in. Step back from your emotional cravings. Step back from the things you believe you want and live for those things that you can take with you through death, which is only the accomplishment of a great love that lives within you. Now, if you're willing to do any and all of those things, you won't be stuck. You'll be liberated. You'll be fluid. And to be fluid and flowing in the harmony of life is an extremely important thing to be able to do. So let love live you, as I always say, Tom. Stuck with you? You got to have a human form. I have to have a human form. They're not always the greatest things in the world in the sense of their genetics and DNA and how they protrude through our life and cause us to feel inadequate or unhappy or fearful or any of that. It isn't always an easy task to live with the human part of us, but you can live with it in a certain amount of grace, certain amount of kindness, a certain amount of fearlessness. And if you do, if you attain to that, a lot of really beautiful things can happen. Tom, thank you for your wonderful question, and thank you for all the kind comments about Aspire. I was deeply touched. Please forgive me. Namaste. I loved what his email was, very well written. I admire good writing. Last one comes from Harold. He does not tell me where he lives. How do I know I keep my promises to myself in this new year when I'm so convoluted? Is there any way for me to keep the promise to myself in this new year of doing things that were better than last year? Harold, boy, you are convoluted. There's so much there that says just the same thing over and over. Our minds are convoluted, Harold. They all are, so don't worry about it. Mine is too. I can always take the long way around to take a short path, so I understand. Don't make promises to yourself. Don't do that. You just taunt your ego. It's like poking the embers of a fire in a fireplace. You just keep poking and poking until the fire restarts or gets a little hotter. And by making promises, you know you don't have the discipline to keep. You just make it worse. It would be better to live your life one moment at a time and not be thinking about the promises you've made or the things you need to do or want to accomplish in this world. Just write them down. Do whatever it is you need to do, moment to moment to moment, and simply do it. Don't think ahead. Don't think behind. Don't think of what you should have done. Don't think of what you're going to do. Just keep everything in the current flow of your life. And if it's time for you to get up, it's time for you to get up. It's time for you to go to work. It's time to go to work. If you're at work and there are things that need to be done and you look at it like it's overwhelming, do one thing at a time. Keep it simple. The simpler your mind is, the more you will get accomplished. The more confused and convoluted your mind is and overwhelmed by whatever is going on in your life, like work or whatever, and you are feeling like you're being pressed, you're going to feel as though you're being pushed and you won't keep your promises. Discipline, to me, is defined by not doing those things that hurt you. Not doing those things that hurt you. So if you do things that hurt you, like worry, get angry, get frustrated, feel overwhelmed, and I have days where I feel overwhelmed, and I have to reset my whole mental premise by letting go of the idea of emotional conflict with myself. Once I do that, once I realize, oh, I'm going into conflict with myself about getting this done and getting it done the way I want it to be done or on time or whatever, I'm never late, by the way. I always see how things can be done, and you'll get this. I swear to you, Harold. You will get a premonition. You will get a focus on when to do things, and it will be ahead of time or at the perfect moment, and then you do it then without arguing, without fussing over it, without feuding over it, without thinking, well, I got more time. I don't need to do that. You just do it because you feel that inclination. You feel that this is the time to do it. Once you feel all that and you do all that, a great awakening is going to start to happen, and you're going to get far more accomplished, and you will realize all of a sudden from out of nowhere, well, by God, and it is by the grace of a great goodness that lives within you, you're getting things done that you didn't really get done before. It's a beautiful thing. Trust me, it is. So you just stay in the flow, keeping your mind out of the idea of, well, I've got this to do after and that to do. And that's how you do it. Simplicity, solitude, and silence. Those three things constitute the ability to accomplish almost anything in your life that is important to your living. And I only say almost because there's one other thing: knowing when to hold them and when to fold them, when to let go. That's a big one. I'm out of here. Thank you. Thank you so much, Harold. And I hope I helped you. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste. You have a very safe new year. I'll be in meditation with my students on New Year's Eve, and we will be meditating from 11 to midnight, and I'll hold you in my heart, all of you, as we meditate. And then we're going to go down to Big Sur and have a beautiful lunch. Have a wonderful day tomorrow and on New Year's, and know you are deeply loved and appreciated by this old teacher. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.